This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Gentlemen, if you would do the honors for me as I sit here in Hawaii this morning. I've got two small children asleep. I've got a wife, very attractive, very big-breasted, lying in bed. I can't do it right now. So, if you would.
One, two, three.
Yeah!
That was a good one.
Anytime you get a walk-off. From the San Diego Padres last night, my friends. That was fantastic. Great to be here with you guys. Mahalo, aloha, whatever it is that you're supposed to say. Yeah, man, I am live from Kauai, and this is a trip, and I regret it just instantly. Instantly, the minute that alarm went off at 2:15 this morning, I am just racked with regret, but the blue pill actually just did open my eyes. So hopefully, we will get this thing going today. Man, it's good to see your faces. I missed you guys. I see tons of tier ones in the chat. Everybody's ready to jam. I don't know how much you can see behind me. It doesn't look like I'm in Hawaii right now. There's no beautiful tropical outlay behind me, but rest assured when I tell you guys, this is paradise here. Paradise. How are you boys?
Oh, we're good, man. We're good.
Good, yeah. We missed you yesterday out at the Salute to Heroes Golf Tournament. Got to meet Jock Jones for the first time, and Arabian Prince came up and introduced himself to me. He said, "Hi, I'm Arabian," and I said, "Hi, I'm Ben." So that was interesting and definitely different.
I was waiting for Ben to pull the, "Hi, I'm American." I was like, "Ben?" Not everybody gets your sense of humor.
Why do they call you Arabian Prince? Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, I'm Woodsy, and I'm live from Kauai, and Paulie Reindl's our executive producer, and Ben Higgins is our friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I'm so out of sorts. I did the whole open wrong, but man, what an excursion t'was to get out here yesterday. And it starts for me, and you guys are married. I'm sure everyone listening has gone through this. And it could be, I don't think it has to be the wives do it. I can certainly see husbands doing this as well. What is it with our significant others or our spouses giving a rat's ass about what it is we choose to put in our suitcases? My wife lorded over me. She stood in the room as I would go to my closet and bring things out. Oh, you're bringing that? Oh, why are you bringing that? I'm bringing that. I looked at her. I'm like, I'm 50 years old. I'm 50. I am 50 years old. This is not my first trip. I'm not an invalid. I'm not an invalid. You don't have to do things for me. Like, I know what to, I've been there. I've been to the exact place we're going. I know exactly what I need in this trip. Oh, what, you're bringing two of those? Why? Why are you bringing two? I'm like, I don't know, because I'm here for 10 days. That was the first greatest part of all of it, was me having to, now it's on me, man. I waited too long to pack. You're supposed to pack when she's not in the house, and I could have packed whatever I wanted.
All right, it's all done.
Sam,
I'm good.
Pack sandwiches in there. It's all, I'm done. Don't bother looking in it. But she sat over me, like almost with a pad and pen. And I've never had program directors that cared that much about our show than she did about what I put in my suitcase.
Was there any like underwear count or anything like that to make sure that you had enough to go through?
Yeah, it was, there was full on counting, and it wasn't, I think you should pack more. It was, why are you packing that many shirts? Why are you packing that many shorts? Why are you packing three pairs of shoes? You're only going to be doing this. And I go, I'm begging you. Get your butt up off the bed and go into the other room. I'm begging you to go into the other room and just let me pack in peace, because you're messing with my flow right now.
If you had forgotten something, but, or if you had had, I mean, was there going to be any consequences? Like, you got in the trip and there was something bad that would have happened because you made a mistake packing, possibly.
No, again, this was not a, oh my gosh, I can't believe you forgot to pack, your flip-flops. This was a, Why are you packing your flip-flops? Why are you packing those shoes? You won't need those shoes. How many pairs of little socks are you bringing? What are those shoes for? Oh, golf. That's right. Okay. Why are you packing the collared shirt? That's also for golf. You're bringing two hats. One hat's probably enough. And I just looked at her. I was like, you're making me insane. And if you don't stop this, I'm not going to go. I'm begging you to just let me pack. So we get packed. And, you know, no problem. Get it all dialed in. I'm sure I forgot something or I overpacked something. But, boys, I got to tell you, man, when you're traveling with two small kids and you're going across the world, you know, 6.5-hour flight. And, oh, man, they said the radio feed is skipping. Son of a bitch. This is not what I wanted. You guys hear it at all?
I haven't heard.
You sound perfect on our end.
I can't imagine that there's anything wrong. It must be on the receiver's end because we're good here.
Okay, good. Levels sound good.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're flying across the world, essentially. 6.5-hour flight. It's not, you know, it's not that much. And then we had to connect in Honolulu. Boys, I got to tell you, it couldn't have gone smoother. I mean, it really went really, really smoothly until we landed in the islands. And then that's where it went sideways real, real real quick, as always happens to me. I'm San Diego's version of Larry David. You guys know that. All I need is for my hair to start falling out. True, man. The boys, my boys, my two angels, Bo and Taylor, were so good. They were so good on the plane. They had their iPads. We played Monopoly, and I played Monopoly on his iPad. It was amazing. We had so much fun. Didn't make a peep. Not a peep, not even a sound, no nothing. Pretty chill, big flight, 6.5 hours. There were some babies on there, and you could hear, you know, you could hear them crying a little bit, and you don't think anything of it, man. You're sympathetic to it. And we touch down, and we get on over to the other terminal where we had to walk two terminals away.
The inter-island terminal from the international terminal, got it.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a bit of a piece. We get over there, and I notice in the terminal, wow, that kid is crying. Holy cow, that kid is. That's more than crying. That is, he's having a full-blown temper tantrum. Surely he'll be fine by the time the flight leaves. Surely he will, because he's just getting it out in the terminal here. Well, we start loading up the plane. We are in the last two rows. Bo and I on the very last row of the plane. Bo was so excited for his window seat that turned out to be one of those faux window seats.
Oh,
it had the
it's the side of the plane
of where the window goes,
yeah.
But there was no window. Yeah, there was an indentation of where the window goes, but there was no window.
Faux for Bo.
So it was faux for Bo. Taylor was looking out on his into a giant engine, so he was like, oh, all right. Well, anyway, sitting down next to me was it was a family, and the kid was in my row, 3 feet from me. If I reached out across the aisle, I could have grabbed him by the throat or something if I wanted to. That's how close he was.
That would
not
be
that
inappropriate.
I would ever grab a 3-year-old, right? I could have, like, I don't know, if I had had a hammer, I could have hit him on the head with a hammer. I'm just trying to show you how close I was.
Right,
to him.
Right.
Right.
You're painting a great picture. So, I can tell exactly how far away you are now.
Yes, exactly. Choking distance, no problem. So we sit down. We sit down, and here he goes, dude. And he starts screaming. And he starts having a temper tantrum, the likes of which you would never believe. In fact, so much that I actually sent a little audio over to Paulie. He was about 3 years old, and I've been there. I've been there, man. Both my kids had some tantrums. Benny, I'm sure yours did too at some point. But that did not stop, man. That went 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I know sometimes kids can have the ear problems on the plane, but you said he was doing that in the terminal as well. So
he was doing that in the terminal. And again, hey, man, it could have come from, you know, they were flying in from another place too, I'm sure, and he could have had an ear infection. I don't know what it was. But here is the couple of interesting parts. So when I say tantrum, I mean full bore, legs kicking up and down. Chop, 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 chop. The mother is with him. The dad is sitting right in front of him, and he has his head back on his chair, and his eyes are closed, and he's just looking deeply into the abyss of, like, what did I do? I've made a terrible mistake. If I could jump off this plane, I would. You could see it in his eyes. And I texted you guys, and Ben goes, it's always worse when it's your kid than somebody else's. I go, there's no question. I'd much rather it be someone else's kid than my kid. And there was nothing she could do, and there was nothing the dad could do. There was nothing. So here's the funny part. Homeboy has these little Crocs on, and he keeps temper tantruming, and the Crocs would fly over to my seat. Okay? So in a 45-minute flight, I must have handed this lady her Crocs back 15 times.
Why did she keep putting them back on?
It's a great question. Now, here's the best part. Paulie, what's it called? You know, everybody that knows what Crocs are, it has a strap that you can pull back and then slip on, and the strap goes back behind your ankle.
Sport
right?
mode. That's
called sport mode. What's the other mode called? Like slipper mode?
Yeah, I don't know. Casual, whatever.
Casual mode, so you just slip them on?
You slide right in, and then, yeah, if you're, like, going to do some more walking than just around the house or something, then, yeah, you would, like, flip it around the back of your heel.
It holds the shoe in place. It's the back of the shoe. So I would go, no problem. I'd pick them up. I'd hand them back to her. She would then put them back on, refuse to put the clasp behind his heel every time. She would keep, and I wanted to at one point reach out and say, you do know that this thing flips back, and then it's just, his feet will be snug inside these Crocs, therefore making it harder for him to kick these things off into my face.
Don't tell me how to parent my own child. I know. Exactly, I get to make these decisions. You don't ever want to tell a parent what to do.
So then at one point, and here's where the story gets a little bit dark. And I did not realize this until after the flight. I looked over at one point, and the kid's one eye, looked like it was swollen shut, and I go, is this kid sick? I bet that's it. That no kid would act this poorly. Well, apparently, dudes, mom had been getting very tired of getting kicked in the face, screamed at, scratched, and hit, and decided to grab homeboy by his face at 3 years old and actually injured him on the plane. Now,
no,
again, I didn't see this. I didn't, my back was turned to them because Bo was laughing and like looking at me going, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah. Let's just continue to play our game. Homeboy really pissed mom off, and mom gave him the like, you know, like the pinch,
Yeah.
But in the process, now I didn't see it. Some other lady on the plane saw it, walks back to my row and leans over. She goes, are you okay with this? And I looked at her and I go, I've got two kids. I've had kids melt down on the plane before. She goes, this is making me very, very uncomfortable. I am so uncomfortable. And I'm like, so in my mind, I'm going, you're uncomfortable because a baby's crying on the plane? Like, this stuff happens all the time. And she's like, then I see her up talking to the flight attendant. And I'm like, I just want to go home. I just want to get to paradise and go up. He could say the kid got off with an eye patch. Bro, I'm telling you, I did look over at one point. I went, Apollo Creed just like landed a left in this kid's eye. Dude. It was all swollen. And like, I'm like, did I just see a lady beat her child in real time? And I missed it. I missed it entirely. So all of a sudden, the flight attendants are talking to, and the lady, the couple, they don't speak English. And so people are coming back and talking to them, and I'm just going, oh, God, no, I didn't see anything. I've had screaming kids. It's not a big deal. Please let me off. I just want to get off the plane.
I mean, it's everyone in the plane is like, do something about your child. Do something about your child. Do something about your child.
Don't do that.
Not that.
Dude, it was the worst. It was the worst, uncomfortable. And, I mean, the dude did not stop, man. And, I mean, when they let him down, when we touched down and she pulled that seatbelt off him, he tried to run up the aisle. He was like, I am getting out of here. Bro, it was heavy. It was dark. Listen, and you know, there are people listening right now going, how dare she? How dare she? And I'm going, kind of get it. The kid was that bad. It was that loud and obnoxious and crazy. But, you know, it's like I always say, man, I got noise canceling headphones. They're for a reason. It's 2025. Get yourself a pair and get after it, man. But holy smokes, it was wild. But I'll hear that kid's screams in my sleep tonight, man.
You may need life-canceling headphones just to block everything out, visually, auditory, just to totally relax at some point.
Well, and you guys know the bit. Paul, you've never been to Hawaii. Ben, you've been to Hawaii a couple times. There is a way that things are done here, and you better fall in line or you're going to have a miserable trip. They work on Hawaii time here.
Island time.
And Hawaii, yeah. Island time, yeah. And what that means, Paulie, is I'm under absolutely no pressure or stress to deliver you what you came here for. Absolutely none. Zero. My life continuing in Curb Your Enthusiasm, my beloved mother-in-law shows up to meet us. We did not know she was coming. Thank God. She takes my two kids, and she's like, see you guys later. I'm taking them to the beach. And we're oh, good. We can get the luggage, go get groceries, all that. Go get the rental car. So we go over to the thing, and we're waiting on the rental car. And we're standing in line. We are the next people up. And on my children, a lady and her husband walk in. They walk in front of us, and she looks at me. She goes, I'm not cutting. I'm not cutting. She goes right up to the front desk. And starts talking to the agent. And I go, I'm not cutting. And the husband goes, no, we had a problem with our car and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's fine. But you can't say I'm not cutting when you just blew through the line and went to the lady that I was going to go to. That is, in fact, the definition of cutting.
That is cutting. Yeah.
You straight up cut.
But if you've already waited in line once and they for some reason
No. Ben. They had been on vacation for a full week. Something happened to their car while they were gallivanting.
This wasn't.
Around
I thought
Princeville.
They were just going out to the parking lot to get their car, and like, you gave us the wrong key or something. That I would say, okay, just go back to the front of the line.
100%. So, dude, that's cutting. They were at that counter for 50 minutes. You know how I know it was 50 minutes? Which is, I mean, that's a definite. You need 5 minutes up there, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. You need 50 minutes up there, that's a different thing entirely.
Oh, man.
Hannah and I we're standing outside waiting for our Kia Telluride to be brought around the corner. And we were outside for 50 minutes. And like I said, man, they're in nowhere. They're like, yeah, I mean, we'll get it to you whenever we get it. And I'm looking at all these cars, and I'm like, there's a million cars here. Give me one. We'll do the Mustang. I don't care. Like, just get us in a car. 50 minutes. We finally get it. We go to Safeway. We get our groceries. We get home. Everybody's happy. Get the thing set up, and now we're here this morning, and I'm so happy to be here. I woke up this morning really kicking myself. But I feel great now. Got to get those stories out. But it's been really, really great so far. It's so beautiful here. I posted a picture on Twitter last night. If you saw it, that's the view from my front lanai here, and it is just stunning. And it's early. I'm going to give you that. It's really, really early. But it's going to be a good week. And obviously, that win last night was something special. Being able to watch that and being able to talk about it with my boys this morning. That's what I was looking forward to doing.
And I know that's what a lot of people are here for. We will get into our Padres talk, set the menu for the Tuesday edition of Ben and Woods after a quick check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. In any baseball season, there's always, four or five games I think you end up circling at the end of the year as being particularly entertaining, significant, and last night's fits the bill for the San Diego Padres. We will go through all the highlights, our Padres wrap-up of the dramatic walk-off 7-6 come-from-behind win over the New York Mets last night at Petco Park. Electric atmosphere, as it always is. Here.
What didn't that game have?
It really did have a little bit of everything.
It had everything. Good pitching, bad pitching, defense, grand slams, walk-offs, ejections.
Ejections, wonky plays.
Terrible umpiring.
Weird situational bunting. Like, there's just all kinds of stuff that went down in that game. And you talk about being hard to follow. My God, it was hard to follow at the grocery store and in the car on the way home and then getting unpacked. And next thing you know, I'm like, man, I've missed. You're going to have to help fill in a little bit of the color here and there. I got the gist of it. And damn near when Cease gave up the grand slam, we were in the car. And I was so mad, I turned it off. And Hannah is the one that made me put it back on 5 minutes later. And I'm so glad she did, because then we roared back and took the lead, or at least tied it, I think, at that point. I was livid. Oh, when that ball went out, I went, that's it. That's it for the season. Season's over. I was so mad. It was such a long day.
We will talk all about it. Was it Dylan Cease's last start with the San Diego Padres? Did that affect anything? Did the ball off the head affect anything with the trade deadline coming up just 2 days away? We'll get into all of that coming up in our next hour. We will also hear from the man who called the walk-off winner last night for your San Diego Padres. Jesse Agler will be with us at 8:35. To talk Padres baseball and more. Plus, we'll have our regular features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, and, of course, the Rindle Report at some point. Now, you were saying you wanted to do the Rindle Report earlier for some reason today?
I have a schedule conflict, gentlemen.
You hear this guy?
You have a scheduling conflict at 6:30 a.m. Hawaii time, because that's when the Rindle Report hits where you are. At 6:30 a.m., you already have a scheduling conflict.
I do, and I will say this: I should be absolved of any blame for this. Mm-hmm. It's a Woods family tradition. Okay, when do you want to hear about this?
We can do it when we come back before the Padres wrap up. Are you okay for this at 4:20 a.m. your time, or is there another conflict at that point as well? I just want to make sure that we're good here. Very busy in the middle of the night in Kauai, apparently.
I will fill in the blanks, and once you hear it, you'll go, Jesus. All right, makes sense to me. Makes sense to me.
We'll see about that.
We will get into all of it coming up next. Let's get into our Padres wrap up and highlights when we come back from our first break. Woods. Island Time Woods, Paulie Rindle, Ben Higgins with you here on a Tuesday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But first,
oh, you got me off guard here.
First,
yeah, we got to talk about Trustin Will Woods.
I was waiting on you, buddy.
Yeah, you caught me off guard so early in the morning. Well, it's, 3:24 Hawaii time. If there's any time, you can go to TrustinWill.com and get the peace of mind knowing your family is taken care of. If you want to make sure that they are taken care of no matter what happens to you in the future, you fill out some simple questions online. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes. And at the end of the process at TrustinWill.com, you will have legal documents, estate documents, either a will or a trust that can really save your family a lot of hassle and even a lot of money potentially when the time comes.
Well, there is our unpaid endorser, our man Dominic, who recently lost a beloved family member, and he and his family are now in probate court. He makes sure to put into the chat every single day, get a trust, folks. It's very, very important. You're gone. Your family is now in court battling for what is rightfully theirs. No. Make sure you get a trust. Go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out, FAN. They're going to give you 20% off plus free shipping of your estate documents as well.
What you get is that peace of mind knowing your family's taken care of and can avoid the long hassles and messy, messy costs of probate court by getting that trust. Again, go to trustandwill.com. Get 20% off with the code FAN at trustandwill.com. We'll be right back. I'm looking forward to what will probably be a fairly extended edition of the Padres wrap up here. Highs and lows, a real roller coaster ride of a game last night at Petco Park. But quickly, just Woods, tell us what do you have going on at 6:30 in the morning? You said a family tradition.
Yeah, well, and so I looked at the layout that Paulie has for the show today, and it's pretty standard Tuesday show, and I saw Rindle Report at 9:35, and I said, hey, if it's not too much trouble, I'd like to move the Rindle Report up. And the reason that I do is because, well, there's a couple reasons. Ben, I know you hate the Rindle Report. I like it, and I like to be a part of it every single day. So I thought it best that we move it up to a time when I'm actually going to be live on the air, because at the last segment at 9:35 your time, your old pal Woodsy has to skedaddle. Now, you're going to hear my reasoning and be upset. I'm going to plead ignorance on this one, because in the longstanding Woods tradition, my brother is in town. I don't know if you guys knew that, right? My brother, my sister-in-law,
and my nephews.
Yeah, you told
us that they were getting to come along on this trip too, which is very cool.
And it's great. They are not staying with us. They are staying down the road in Princeville. My brother really wanted to play golf with me this morning. I have not swung a golf club in about 6 months, so that shouldn't go great. We have an 8 o'clock tee time. He does not have a rental car. Because his last name is Woods. And he said, he wrote me last night. He goes, hey, what's the deal with tomorrow? Can you pick me up? I am about a mile away, but I can walk if need be. And I go, I'm not going to make you walk, Gary Jr. I'm not going to make you walk to the golf course. I'll come get you for our tea time.
It's a good tactic by him to say, give you the sob story. Like, I guess I can walk bare feet with my clubs a whole mile.
So we have to rent clubs, which was, you know, you need a little extra time for that. You need a little extra time to check in. You need a little extra. Now I got to go back past the resort to pick him up. I got to bring him back. So I like the Rindle Report. I'm a big, big fan of it. And I like to be a part of the Rindle Report. So I would like to, if possible, move it up so that we can do it and I can be a part of it. Unless you say, Ben, if you say, you know what, for once, I'll lock in on the Rindle Report and I'll just handle it. It's either way you want to handle it, but I'm really trying to help you here.
Well, if you had said anything other than golf, I might be a little annoyed, but I can't really complain about, you know, someone wanting to get to the tee time early, hit some balls and warm up. I mean, it's kind of important when you're out heading to the golf course. So, yeah, you know what? I figured this one.
I figured I would appeal to the one part of your understanding body. That's the one bone in his body.
I do have golf understanding.
If I said to Ben, actually, we got a tee time at this crazy country club, Ben would be like, you don't even have to do the show. Just go play. Have a great time. So, So
now, if you said, I just want to go to the beach or something, I'd say, just wait. It's going to be there in 30 minutes. But
no. No. So I brought some Ben and Woods balls. I'm ready to seed the golf course again, as I did last time. Yes, reseed the golf course. I'm excited. I'm obviously excited to spend a little time with my bro. I never get to see it, but I did find it crazy that he came to this island without a vehicle. And I think the sticker shock of Kauai, once you get here, you're like, whew, that's an $8 jar of pickles I just bought at the grocery store last night. That is really, really something.
You and I were talking last night. I was helping you get all set up in the home office there, and you were telling me about the grocery store, and you spent an exorbitant amount. I said, what the hell did you buy? You're like, literally nothing. Like, normal crap that should have been like $200.
We got milk and cereal and sandwich meat and cheese and crackers and, you know, some things for the kids. We get up to the front, and the lady's like, yeah, that'll be $415. I'm like, babe, did you get 4 pounds of shrimp and lobsters that I was not aware of in here? I could not believe it. I was like, all right,
all has
man.
To be shipped from these the mainland. That ain't cheap.
That's right. These kids are eating every morsel of that food. But I digress. I'm ready to talk some Padres baseball. Let's get to the wrap up, as it were. Yeah.
Yep. It's coming up right after Kelly's traffic. Don't go away.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh.
Yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
First and third, one away, top of the second inning. A ball and a strike to Beatty. Cease will deliver, and that's in the air on a line to left field. Johnson backing up. He makes the catch. McNeil will tag and score from third base. A sack fly for Brett Beatty, and a 1-0 lead for the Mets here in the second. Merrill leading at first base. Alonso plays behind him. Machado's at second. They run. Bogarts loops it into shallow center. That's down at a base hit. Manny will score. Merrill going to be held as the throw comes in from McNeil. And Xander Bogarts ties the game. It's 1-1.
About a little two-out magic for Xander this time around.
Runners go. The payoff pitch is swung on, sent in the air to deep right field again. Fernando back at the wall. This time he's got no play. A grand slam for Vientos, and the Mets get to Cease at the very last moment. 5-1 New York. First extra base hit of the night for the Pods. Runner on second, nobody out. To arise, the pitch, and Luis launches it in the air, deep down the right field line, trying to keep it fair. It's off the screen, and a two-run homer. Arise with a king of a bat flip as he heads to first base, and just like that, it's 5-3. Machado leading down the line at third, Bogarts from second, 0-1, the pitch. Cronenworth hits it hard on the ground right side. Alonso falls down, has it behind the back. Fields Brazoban, and not in time. Key to the pitcher, not in time. Machado comes in to score, and the Padres are within one. It's 5-4. Trying to erase the Vientos grand slam in the top of this frame. 0-1. Johnson swings, grounded to the right side. That's into right field and a base hit. Bogarts comes in to score. Cronenworth races to third. And Bryce Johnson with his second hit of the night has tied the game. It's 5-5.
Brazoban set.
And the first pitch to Diaz swung on. That's lifted over Lindor into left field and a base hit. Cronenworth comes in to score. And for the first time tonight, the Padres lead. It's 6-5.
It really comes down to heart. Desire, you know, really willingness to win, you know, and this group has it. You know, it's on display almost every night. It's on display at the end of the road trip this last 10 days. And then come back home, and it's so nice to be home. I mean, this ballpark was electric tonight. This place is special. So kudos to the Friar faithful and the support that we get. That clearly helps a little bit too, but no doubt. But this team's got heart of champions, and you know, they turn it up. They don't give in.
Well, we got a little short there. We only got through the first. We didn't get all the way through the walk off. We're gonna have to get a couple more highlights there at the end of our wrap up. But I mean, there was plenty of drama in the fifth inning for sure, and we heard it all right there. And the Padres did, of course, end up winning on the another Elias Diaz hit. I guess we're getting confused. Too many Elias Diaz big go-ahead hits in the game last night as they come back after Robert Suarez gives up the home run in the top of the ninth inning to Ronnie Mauricio.
I think he was in there.
I didn't hear it. I think we missed the
right
everyone.
Before, I mean,
first pitch to Diaz swung on. That's lifted over Lindor into left field and a base hit. Cronenworth comes in to score. And for the first time tonight, the Padres lead. It's 6-5.
Paulie got by the bad label.
I got duped.
That's okay. We can still play it for you here. Paulie, if you can find the...
And Diaz lines it into left field. Here comes Nimmo, has to play it on a hop. Iglesias rounding third. Here's the throw to the plate. No shot. And the Padres walk it off. Elias Diaz took Dylan Cease off the hook in the fifth with an RBI single. And now he takes Suarez off the hook in the ninth as the Pods walk it off on a wild night against the Mets and win it 7-6.
There we go. Bam. There's your walk-off winner for Elias Diaz as the Padres do come back from the four-run deficit to win their third in a row. They can erase their entire four-game losing streak by winning tonight in game two of the series with a four-game winning streak. But, Woods, let's start with Dylan Cease's performance. It was, well, the quintessential 2025 Dylan Cease. He comes out, strikes out the side in the first inning, and you go, all right, he's got it. He has figured it out. And, of course, it just doesn't seem to hold every single start. He looks at times like he is Dylan Cease. He is a dominant Cy Young-type pitcher. for two of the four innings or three of the five innings that he's in. And then the other inning or two, he runs into problems. Gave up the sacrifice fly in the top of the second to Brett Beatty. That wasn't too bad. That was just a couple of singles, a walk, a single, whatever. But then, of course, after the fifth inning, Mark Vientos, the two-out grand slam, and he once again trudges off the mound, dejected, like he has so many times this year, coming up, you know, short of what the Padres needed from Dylan Cease this season.
Sorry, we got some audio issues with Woodsy here. I'm trying to get him locked in.
And I will give Dylan Cease some credit. Stayed in the game after taking the 100-mile-an-hour one-hopper by Francisco Lindor in the top of the third off the back of his head. Came back, struck out, I believe, Soto and Pete Alonso, the next two batters. So certainly, you know, showed some guttiness and grittiness to stay in that game and try to pitch the Padres, you know, as deep as he can. But no matter what happens to Dylan Cease, it just seems to be, you know, the same story
it's
every
remarkable.
Single time.
It is. I'm honestly like kind of confounded on what do you do with a guy that looks pretty like dominant, not even like serviceable, like dominant for the first three innings, then has a rough inning, then comes back and looks pretty good. And then it just like with Dylan Cease, when it unravels so fast. Like if you like get up to go get some water and come back, you're like, how are we down five? What happened?
It's and there's no way you can you can kind of just guess it's coming, but it's usually preceded by vintage Dylan Cease, sharp sliders, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and then all of a sudden the other team just gets to him, and before you know it, yeah, he's given up the lead, he's given up the game. Fortunately, this time the Padres were able to come right back and get him off the hook with some offense, but is this a guy that you can trust the rest of the season? Is this a guy that any other team is interested in adding to their rotation for a playoff push and potentially postseason starts? I think when you look at the metrics and the numbers, you go, of course. I mean, you know, that those don't usually lie. When you are throwing with that kind of swing and miss, he struck out, what, eight or nine batters last night? You know, that's a top of Major League Baseball type arm, nine strikeouts. And yet, every single time, almost every single time, the results tend to be the same. He can't get through the fifth, and he ends up giving up 3 to 5 runs.
Eric in the chat says maybe he should be like a long reliever. That sounds crazy when you're talking about a guy like Dylan Cease, Cy Young candidate, starting pitcher. But I don't know that I disagree with Eric. That might be, like, if they kept him, don't you think you could find a lane for him to be dominant for like three innings? I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do with a guy like that. Hello, Woods. Good morning.
Hello.
We were just talking about you.
This thing is awesome so far. I could kind of get the gist of what you guys were talking
just
about.
What do you do with a Dylan Cease? He's so hard to figure out this year.
Nothing. You can't put him in the bullpen. He walks too many guys. He's way too, imagine putting him in a Jason Adam role. You'd vomit all over yourself. it's just the worst part about Dylan Cease. I was reading a couple of guys, you know, takes last night on Twitter, which again, I don't know that they're gospel. But he is a predictable, it's hard to be predictable when you throw 98, 99 miles an hour. You also throw that slider. But if that slider comes out of the hand and looks like a ball, it's fairly easy for these guys to spit on. He just doesn't get as much swing and miss as a guy with his stuff should get. And he doesn't have that other pitch, right? That cutter that he can bury in on a guy's hands.
But
or
if that's true,
like that.
How did he strike out and nine guys? I mean, he struck out nine guys yesterday.
Dude, 100%. When I say swing and miss, the stuff is there, right? Like he can go up in the zone with a heater, and if you're not ready for 99 up at your eyes or at the letters, he's going to get you. But if it does, his pitches that aren't as competitive are much easier to spot, I guess. I don't know. He's too erratic. He's too erratic to ever move to a bullpen role. And again, a guy like Dylan Cease. So you guys got to fill me in here. I lost service on my phone, and the next thing I know, I look up and the bases were loaded. How did the bases get loaded before the grand slam to Vientos?
Ground ball, single, a dribbler off the end of the bat, and a walk, I believe, is how the Mets loaded the bases. I mean, it wasn't hard hit. There wasn't a lot of contact.
Yeah.
I thought the I thought the Vientos at bat that ended with a grand slam. There was a McNeil at bat earlier that I thought was kind of telling, though, where Dylan Cease gets ahead, but can't necessarily, you know, a good hitter goes up there and he's looking either fastball or slider, and he just keeps fouling it off. Like, I may not get him, but I will keep working him. And McNeil worked a walk, and eventually, with the bases loaded, Vientos. You know, it wasn't a horrible pitch. It was a fastball, 98, 99 on the outside corner, but Vientos was ready for it. He knew he had to come in because there was nowhere to put him. The bases were loaded. He had gone the other way, obviously, in the previous at-bat when Fernando Tatis Jr. robbed him of the home run. Took the same swing, just sent it another 30 feet further where Fernando had no chance to get it. He forced Dylan Cease to come into him, whereas Dylan Cease back kind of lost zone, yeah, the advantage in that at bat because he wasn't able to finish him off. The ones that were in the strike zone, he just kind of fouled off. The ones that weren't, he spit on and was able to work the count to 3-2. McNeil did the same thing earlier in the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes they're going to put really, really good swings on it. The velo does the work for a Mark Vientos there, and you know, he's able to get it out of the ballpark. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if you guys talked about the catch that Fernando made, one of the
not
best
yet
that you'll ever see. I mean, it was just absolutely spectacular, and I really liked his catch coming in on the slide as well. He is really flashing the leather out there, starting to feel himself and continuing to feel himself with the glove this year. And, you know, you don't win that game without him yesterday, certainly. Oh, yeah, so the intent to walk to McNeil was intentional.
That's right, but there was one earlier in the game that didn't hurt him, but it wasn't unintentional. But that one was intentional, that's right. And they actually brought Vientos up to load the bases on purpose, going with the righty-on-righty matchup there.
But at the end of the day, I thought when he let that pitch go and it was hit for a grand slam, I wondered to myself, is this the last pitch that he throws as a San Diego Padre? And that is it leaves the ballpark for a grand slam. I don't know what you do, Benny. I don't know. One thing I do know is that it is very strange watching a team with a lot of rumors going around it, and when Dylan Cease wears one to the back of the head, it's such a bad feeling that you have as a fan, and it's actually like I felt it too. So if you felt this way, I don't, you know, don't feel bad. I felt it too. I go, well, there goes his trade value, you know, depending on how much he had anyway. But I go, well, just like Eugenio Suarez got dotted yesterday in the hand, and they're trying to move him, and it's a bad way to live. You know, it's a bad way to live, and it's tough to be a fan of teams like that when the guys that you're expecting to get you some sort of a haul back go out and get hurt potentially in that game. And I went, oh, man, friggin' baseball, dude, finds a way. What do you guys think? Do you think he's moved? Do you think he's moved by the end of the day, today, tomorrow?
I just don't know. I would be very hesitant if I was another team to overpay for Dylan Cease. And I don't think A.J. Preller is going to move him. We talked about it yesterday. AJ's only going to move Dylan Cease if he feels like he gets a really good deal. He's not interested in selling Dylan Cease for pennies on the dollar because Dylan Cease could still help the Padres down the stretch. So is another team willing to at least fairly pay or slightly overpay for Dylan Cease? And the pieces have to be right as well. I mean, they have to be guys that AJ could then potentially flip to improve his rotation and maybe add another starter for the push, because obviously the Padres are going for it. They're in playoff position, two games up in the wild card race. They're only four games behind the Dodgers. There's no selling off here. It's how can you make this team better down the stretch? And is it possible and even likely that you can make it better without Dylan Cease? Yesterday, Woods, I talked about the reason to trade Dylan Cease is not because you have to financially. It's because maybe your team is better without Dylan Cease going forward. He's 3-10 this year. The Padres have a terrible record in the games that he started. How many more times can you keep giving him the ball in important games? Wouldn't it be better to have maybe a guy who doesn't have as great stuff but is giving you a better chance to win games down the stretch?
I just don't know. I really, really don't know. And I don't know, you know, what kind of, again, we always talk about the message and how it's received. I don't know what it says to your team that, you know, fought back last night, that's fought back a lot, that's been in a close game, a bunch of close games, this season. I don't know the message to Manny and Xander and Toddy and Jackson and, you know, some of the other guys, the veterans in there, that it says, hey, we're going to trade our closer and we're also going to trade our, at least, you know, beginning of the season, frontline starter are probably our one or our two. But no, we're trying to win a World Series, guys. And, you know, again, it always depends on the haul and what you get back. But it's again, the needle that we talk about every day with AJ Preller. He's not only threading a needle, he's trying to throw one through a needle, which is even harder.
Let's talk about the bullpen and Robert Suarez as well in the last few innings of that game when we come back, plus the positive update on Michael King from yesterday. We'll get to all of that in hour number two. Ben and Woods continuing next on The Fan.